Many of you have approached me for some systematic training in Krishna consciousness, and during this Chaitanya Leela evening, I can do this by telling you about the teachings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his instructions on sadhana and satya, so that in the end you have some type of Krishna conscious training. Today I will have a very well prepared lecture on the subject matter of initiation at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and after, which will give you an insight about ISKCON and ISKCON's policies and why we are the way we are, and I think it will be very interesting. So we will start with our Jayaradha Mahatma.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Would you be so kind to give me this harmonium, please? So, Krishna, Krishna.
Yes, yes, thank you very much. So, Hare Krishna. Yes, Hare Krishna. So, I will give a lecture today in the English language, and there will be a translation. Mangala is on the way. Mangala is diese absolut geeignete Übersetzung. Ich würde euch vorschlagen, dass ihr vielleicht eure Sitzordnung so ein bisschen so macht, Chidamalini, dass du vielleicht und Bhagavad Dharma, dass ihr eins weiter rückt, sodass wir das so als die deutsche Ecke aufrechterhalten können, die deutschsprachige Ecke. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya
Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine Namaste Sarasvate Gaurani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vachacharishatane
Jaya
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
subject today is a very interesting subject. We will try to shed light on the question of how initiations were performed before, during and after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. There's a lot of nectar in there, and there is also something which will stimulate your own thoughts and hopefully clarify your understanding of how it is that ISKCON has taken such a particular shape. I mean, when you come into in contact with the way spirituality is practiced in India, you will not fail to notice that ISKCON stands a little bit separate, although it is linked with the tradition, with the books, with the practices like arati and worship, and so on. You will find very quickly that ISKCON has a special taste to it, which makes it quite unique, so to say. So it has a lot to do with the way or with the understanding of diksha or initiation in the spiritual process. Good. In the times before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before he appeared, people were initiated in their families by their family gurus. When I was in one marriage ceremony in South India, I became aware of this. The priest who had performed the initiation for a devotee friend of mine, Kunya Bihari, had performed also the who had performed the marriage ceremony, had also done this for his brother, and his father had done it for the father and mother of Kunya Bihari, and his father had done it to the grandparents of Kunya Bihari. In this way, people in India stayed with one family of priests, and as their families or family dynasties expanded, they were accompanied by these priests over the different generations. That was and still is a very important a consideration in the way initiation are and were given in India. It was done by family gurus who came in generations of gurus who accompanied the different families whom they served in this way. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he soon collected followers all over India. But it's very interesting that he himself did not find it necessary to give initiation to these new followers. Instead, these followers all kept their family gurus and their family traditions alive, while at the same time following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. There were four very distinct communities of followers which soon developed. One was those who lived in Puri at the bank of the sacred ocean, which was declared by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a holy place of bathing. Well, there were many ashrams sprung up during Lord Chaitanya's stay in Jagannath Puri. From all over India, people came to live in these ashrams, to be close to the great master, to Mahaprabhu. They wanted to be where their Lord was. They wanted to be there when he took darshans in the temple, and they certainly wanted to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's afternoon kirtans, the Beda kirtans, which he did with the whole town of Puri. So ashrams were built when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, and it was quite a scene. I mean, soon millions of people joined the festival of Ratha Yatra coming there. Another community was building up around the white-clad Babaji hermits in Vrindavan Dham. These were the followers of Rupa and the famous six Goswamis who lived in the forest of Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami, we hear, was building small cottages or kutiras. They didn't have ashrams because they were mostly hermits, Waldeinsiedler. Some of them were so renounced that they didn't even build anything for themselves, but they dug themselves into the earth, into holes, and stayed there contemplating the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Their kingdom was
clearly not an outer kingdom, but a kingdom in the heart. This is the followers of the Goswamis in Vrindavan. And then a total different community, very distinctly different, was the householders in Bengal. They were all followers of the brother of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda Rai, who was traveling throughout Bengal and started so many communities. He was always surrounded by 200 ecstatic kirtaniyas, who were like our Ananta Gauranga, fully dedicated to playing madangas and kartals, doing Lord Nityananda's ecstatic kirtans. And Lord Nityananda's influence was such that whole villages with householders, children, buffaloes and donkeys became followers of Lord Nityananda and of Lord Chaitanya. A fourth community with which we will not concern ourselves very much was scattered all across India. These were people who somehow came in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I believe you remember from your own studies of Chaitanya's travels through South India, he would cross on the road and he would sing this song, Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
But he sang it quite differently than we do. His singing was imbued with ecstatic bhava, the deepest realizations of Radha and Krishna were with him, and those who saw him left their fields and ran to the road where the Lord saw them and then embraced them. And those who had such, you can say, a short context with Lord Chaitanya, were imbued already with love of Godhead. It is described when they went home to their villages, all they could talk was about that golden personality who had walked on the street and who had transformed them magically in their hearts. All of South India became devoted to Lord Chaitanya, and so did the forest dwellers in the wild jungle of Jharkhand, which is a forest jungle which lies between Bengal on the way to Vrindavan. I stayed in that jungle, and you can still hear in the night leopards and tigers. People there are usually earning their lives through, I mean, maybe I should not say, but it's not safe to travel in the night. The Indian police force cannot do anything there. There's a wild area, so to say. So, three distinct communities in Puri. Renunciants who lived in the ashrams and temples. In Vrindavan, white-clad babas or hermits, and in Bengal, villagers who lived in the household because they were followers, they had been contacted by Lord Nityananda. Then the movement was kept alive by Lord Chaitanya's enigmatic personality. Enigmatic in Deutsch, rätselhaft, it's mysterious, it's absolutely divine. If you ever visit my little ashram, I have a picture now which was drawn, it's a commission picture, an Auftragsgemälde, which was drawn by the Royal
painter of Maharaj Pratapa Rudra, and which gives us an understanding how Gauranga Mahaprabhu looked. And if you see that, you will see he's really, and very clearly, Mangala, who is a student of psychology, said, we can see he's really otherworldly, and so on. Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this planet in the year 1534, and before he left, he had talked to a few of his Goswami followers and had told them, you need, after my departure, to define the theology, the practice, and the mission of my movement. During my stay, it's not necessary because I will keep everything afloat. But afterwards, if the people will not know what is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, what do you practice in order to realize the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And what is the desire of Gauranga Mahaprabhu to maybe spread this for the benefit of others? Then this movement will not stay. It will go very quickly. So in the year 1534, that's exactly when the Lord disappeared, the first work was ready. It's Sanatana Goswami had worked on it. He had put the notes of Gopal Bhatta together, and it was a Vaishnava Knicke, Hari Bhakti Vilas it's called. It describes exactly how to worship Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had only spoken about three things. Bhajo Krishna, he had ecstatically told his followers. Worship Krishna. Bolo Krishna, sing his holy name. And Koro Krishna Shiksha, means in English, follow the Shiksha, the instructions of Krishna, as it is given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But that is very, very little, three sentences. Gopal Bhatta and later Sanatana Goswami made out of this a huge volume, a big set, where you understand directly how to worship Krishna. How will you do your aarti? What you offer first? What next? What does it all mean? You were learning how to chant your Gayatri mantras. What fingers are used? What mantras are used? You learned how to perform pranayama to calm your restless mind. Big section on pranayama you will find. You were finding an exact theology of the holy name. Why is the holy name so powerful? What does it do when you chant it? How to chant it? Loud, softly, meditatively, and so on. So there was the practice was very much concentrated. Then, in the year 1560, shortly after this, I want to say, there was a festival, the Keturi festival, where all the devotees of Chaitanya from Orissa, from Vrindavan and Bengal came together. And there were discussions during the festivals about the exact theology of the, from where does the jiva come, was one subject as far as I remember. But most important, how would the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to benefit all souls and liberate them from material existence be done? It was consolidated. Janavama, the wife of Lord Nityananda, organized it. She was the great female teacher who held this together. Mission was discussed. But still,
something was missing. An exact understanding who was that phenomena, who was Chaitanya. Some said he was an individual who was an avesh, God's power went into him. Others said he was an incarnation. Still others said he was Radha and Krishna. Who is he? Who was he? This masterwork was done and accepted by one and all. That's something which is very rare. By the great saint Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who wrote what is even accepted in academic circle, the final word on Lord Chaitanya's identity and his theology, his we would say philosophy in our language. Now, you must know one thing. Lord Chaitanya did not need all this. He was an ecstatic person who, just by meeting him, being in his kirtan, you would get the goal of spiritual life. Ecstatic bhakti. People were transformed for life. And it is described by his biography. It was so strong that when they died, they still remembered Krishna. And this is the language of the saints. They went back home, back to Godhead. Yes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his time had given these three instructions I gave you already. Bhaja Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shiksha. And he had four strong opinions. He said, the Lord whom we worship is the son of who? Nanda Maharaj. His land where he lives is not Vaikuntha. Good. The method in which he is worshipped is one of ecstatic love, like the self-giving love of whom?
Gopis.
Gopis. Yes, led by Srimati Radharani. And what is the ultimate scripture which discusses all these truths? Yes. Not the Shiva Purana. I thought you said Shiva Purana. No, Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you. Thank you so much. This is what Lord Chaitanya talked about, and we find in the scriptures, if you would go where the great master stayed, you know, in the evening, and during the day he would chant, and in the evening he would have again ecstatic celebrations of the holy name. But in the night, you would see devotees who were so inspired, they didn't even want to sleep. They would talk about Krishna, they would softly chant Krishna. They were absolutely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, not like you, who are maybe half an hour practicing Krishna consciousness and the rest are worrying about money and personal problems. Sorry, I should not say this. The Lord was so, he moved the people so much that he said each one of his devotees must chant a minimum of 100,000 names. That is about 56 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra, but because sometimes you go a little bit too fast, just to make up for everything, 64 rounds became the established figure in that time. Now, again, as the Lord, when the Lord disappeared, or before, he saw, we need to solidify everything and bring it into a movement, a type of what Joseph O'Connell described, soft institution, not hard. There were no positions, no, but eine Lehre, a subject. So,
One very important follower was very instrumental. His name is Gopal. Gopal was only 8 years old when he met the great master, Mahaprabhu. It was a kind of private situation. You will like it. It's so human. Lord Chaitanya came out of the bathroom holding his tongue in between his teeth. And the little boy Gopal said, just like Nimai, who wants to know everything, "Why do you have your tongue like this?" And Chaitanya said, I can't stop my tongue from singing the names of God, and I don't want to do that in a dirty place, in a toilet." "Oh," said Gopal, "that is not a good understanding. The holy name can never become impure, not even when it smells. It's untouched, transcendent. And second of all, who knows when we die? It could happen also in the bathroom. And what will you do when you don't chant?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu contemplated this, embraced the boy, took him on his lap and fondled him and said, "You are my guru. From this day onwards, your name is Gopal Guru." Not Gopal, Gopal Guru. When Gopal Guru was old and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left already, the Lord revisited him in a dream and said, "We need initiations in our mission. You should initiate the first person you see in the morning." When Gopal Guru woke up, he had this in the vision. He went out of his little cottage and saw a young boy, a very good Brahmin boy, very qualified Brahmin boy. He said, "Sit down, I have to tell you something about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And he spoke to him, and Dhyan Chandra said, "Oh, please become my spiritual master." No, the boy, and he said, "Yes, I will initiate you. And your name will be Dhyan Chandra." Dhyan Chandra means the moon of meditation, the meditation. Why did he give him this name, and what was in his mind? See, Gopal Guru was living in Puri. He was a renounced monk and he worshipped the Lord within his mind. So he told, and he sometimes saw Krishna in his meditation. So he told, he instructed his first disciple in this, who then wrote a manual. All those who meditate in Vrindavan follow this manual. It is a contemplative manual which describes how you have to do three things. You chant the Maha Mantra to purify the heart. Then you see yourself not as the body, but as an eternal servant of Radha and Krishna, who serves them in that particular rasa called Madhur Yabhav, in a form which is that of a young handmaiden, a dependent little servant, and you take part meditatively, contemplatively, in this identity, in the eightfold pastimes, in the pastimes of the Lord, as they go on through the different periods of the day. Those who follow this process called smarana do these elements. They chant to purify their heart, and they see themselves in a general way, not as the material body, not as man or woman, totally free from the ahammameti, the constructed identity which many conditioned souls are so much worried about. It's just an from the spiritual point of view, a temporary construction, but they totally exit this world and they think themselves as servants of Radha and Krishna in this pastime. So Jan Chandra wrote this very, very definite guidebook on the contemplative practices, and it published it in the year 1620, and it was spread. It's a wonderful guidebook. You learn how to worship your guru, Gauranga, Radha and Krishna, chant the name, and it describes the 11 qualities which you have as a liberated soul and associate in, and worship the Lord. And you will find the advice that you meditate on your inner self, not the, let me say it, because here are some, the word is used also in our Western culture. Here we mean the Atma, this meditation process was an aid, eine Hilfe. It was not ascribing Chittamalini. This is very important. There was no ascription of a particular identity yet. This, the times changed. There were different, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to different individuals and said that you must become gurus, you must spread this mission, my mission all over. And it became the custom of these gurus to give these, it's called Ekadasi Bhav, 11 characteristics to their disciples. They would say, Ananda Nitai, you are this. This is your name. This is how you look. You are dressed in this way. Your particular service is this. Your particular inclination which moves you is this. And during this time, the disciples then adopted this as an identity, and it was assumed by them that their gurus would be eternally liberated souls, because if they were not, how could they see who you are? Huh? They must be up there to see what you are up there, to say it in Berliner slang. What was an aid became a revelation, an ascription. The disciple assumed that their own gurus were siddhas, perfected ones, and these gurus empowered their disciples, their disciples, and their disciples, and they developed the idea of channels through these family lines. They were called Siddha Pranali, the channel of the perfected ones. The initiations which were given in this were all dependent on the assumption that my guru is an eternal associate of Krishna, and he can give me my eternal identity at the time of initiation. Each of the disciples had their disciples, and despite the fact that different disciples would get the same identities in the spiritual world, this became the standard. Within 200 years, this succession of Siddha Pranalis had grown into a huge family tree, a dynasty of the Chaitanya movement, which all had different pranalis or channels which came back to these associates, which went back to the associates, and so on.
But then trouble started in heaven. Yes, we are human beings. Some of the lines began to compete with each other. Especially when their original gurus could show a similar line, means Nachkommen, family people, to one of the associates. In particularly mentionable is the Nityananda Vamsa. They said, well, our original guru is Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram. He had children, they had children. And no one except for us can show really children, and therefore we are the best. And the only line of who can give initiations and connect you with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Do you follow? Can you follow still? Then another serious problem evolved. Some of the gurus may not have been so qualified as to be liberated souls, and they had immoral activities were become like everywhere. It's not surprising, and there were not a consideration of the qualifications which one needs in order to receive one's spiritual identity. The need of chanting rounds, which was very, very important during the Chaitanya time, became compromised. And people who chanted maybe a little Hare Krishna were told, you are such and such Manjari. Why is that a problem? When you practice in your meditation that you are approaching Radha and Krishna during their most confidential pastimes, which resemble the sexuality of this world, then while you meditate about what is going on, if you're not purified, your own seeds, that means vasanas, the attachments for sexuality, which we all have as conditioned souls, will get not less, but it will become stronger. You water, in other words, the seeds of material attachments. The result was that there was a lot of, those times, a lot of immorality, which I do not want to describe in details. Some of the lines became mixed with Sufi influences from Persia. The Sufis were excommunicated from the Islam and had to leave Persia and settled into India. Different types of sampradayas mixed or teachings mixed into Gauranga Mahaprabhu's sampradaya. So that at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, these are blind sampradayas. Strong word. Ooh. Now you can hear there's some conflict and polemics start. There's Tantra, Buddhistic influences. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said during his time he could not find a translation, a book of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It had disappeared from the market. Other things were on the market. Another thing which happened is, as a counter-reaction to Mahaprabhu's, what had become out of Mahaprabhu's movement, another group became very strong, that is the caste brahmanas, who said, look at these followers, this is so impure. We always said, you have to be born as a brahmana. Vaishnavas are not transcendental. See how they behave. See how they, what has become out of this. And so on. So that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the first one, really started to think, I must start a reform.
He very strongly began to preach. You can't arrive in Radha Krishna's pastimes only by the power of your mind. First purify your heart, then revelation of transcendental identity comes. He said Lord Chaitanya's movement was based on three things. Why have we forgotten this? Nama Ruchi, taste in the holy name. Vaishnav Seva, service to Vaishnavas, to real Vaishnavas. And Jiva Daya, do something for the benefit of others. Don't selfishly cultivate your own life, and so on. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a highly respected friend from the Babaji community. It was known that this was he was a storehouse of love of Godhead. His name was Gur Kishore Das Babaji. There were tales around him in Navadvip. People talked that sometimes he would stop in the road and start to talk with Krishna. People who came to this Gur Kishore Das Babaji for advice, he would sometimes say, wait. And he would talk to someone. Krishna said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is your answer. It was known, he was so renounced, he would not eat for days and just remember Radha and Krishna. Once he was asked by one gentleman to give him Siddha Diksha. The Siddha Diksha meant the perfected initiation. This is your name, this is your activity in the spiritual world, this is who you are. And by that time, the historical development had developed in such a way that he and Bhaktivinoda Thakur went back to the same point, although they themselves practiced in their Siddha identity, serving Radha and Krishna as Manjaris, they would have a public stance. This is what Gur Kishore Das Babaji said. The Hare Krishna mantra is the Siddha mantra. Within this mantra are the Siddha Rupa of Sri Krishna and the Siddha Rupas of all living entities. If you chant the Maha Mantra purely, this syllables of the mantra will gradually reveal the spiritual form, qualities and pastimes of Sri Krishna. This mantra will also reveal your eternal spiritual form, service, and the 11 particulars of your spiritual identity. Revelation through purification of the heart, as opposed to ascription, eine Zuschreibung of a perfected identity and practicing a contemplative process in this is different. This difference, those of you who know the Vrindavan Sea spirituality, in particular those who have looked a little bit into the practices of the Bengali community in around Radhakund, will know there is a difference. Two different worlds of sadhana are there. So the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, decided it was time for radical reform of the spiritual scene. In Puri, he had confronted one of the leaders of the Chaitanya movement, Ram Charan Das Babaji, a very powerful personality who could wake up dead people from from deadness. He was a mystic, so on. He had a huge influence and developed a new mantra, Nitai Gaur Radhe Syam Hare Krishna Hare Ram, which is different than the conclusion of Lord Chaitanya. Nityananda and Chaitanya are not identical with Radha Krishna. He had one prominent disciple who dressed up as dressed in woman's cloth, Lalita Devi Dasi, and who was known as Lalita herself, the associate of Radharani at that time. And this was different than this did not sit well with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he tried to engage in dialogue, then in conversation, but he was not taken serious. And his father, who was quite who was different in spirit, took him away from the preaching field and said, don't try to argue and so on. You must go to Navadvip, and I order you to chant from morning till evening tonight like Haridas Thakur. No one will listen to you. You must become like this. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did it, and after 9 years he came out. He was, it is described by one follower of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had seen Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati dressed, he had hair and everything, and he had seen him. He was running one day into the Ganga and jumping into the Ganga, calling out Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, crying and saying. And then when he came out, this disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "So, what is with the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? You have become a Babaji yourself." There was no spirit of preaching in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He looked at him and said, "Can't you see the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going on here? See, there's Chaitanya, there's Nityananda. Go on, he died." And he fainted. A year later, he came and registered the Society of Krishna Consciousness in Calcutta. A change had taken place. And the change, you can best understand it and understand our own Prabhupada from a letter which I somehow found by Krishna's arrangement, a letter which Bhaktivinoda Thakur had written a few weeks or so before he departed from this world. He said, Saraswati, he called his son Saraswati. He first addressed a problem why Vaishnavism was not taken serious at that time. It was because the caste Brahmins couldn't see the value of Vaishnavas. He said, people of this world who are proud of their own aristocratic birth cannot attain real elevation or real aristocracy. They therefore attack the pure Vaishnava, saying they have taken birth in low class families because of their sins. Thus they commit an offense. So Vaishnavas, he said, were not accepted by the leaders of the then society, the Brahmanas. What to do? The solution to this is to establish the order. Now you will hear a magical word in ISKCON. Mm-hmm. The order of Daivi Vanashram Dharma. Something you have already started. You should know that this will be real service to the Vaishnavas. So he said, you must establish a spiritual society with brahmanas, and for this, this is the amplification, you will need renounced preachers, sannyasis, an army of them, many of them. Then you can correct the anti-devotional concepts of the pseudo-sampradayas. This was addressing the Siddha Pranali habit. And I beg you, start Navadvipa Parikram. Then everyone will receive Krishna Bhakti. Serve Mayapur, another magical formula will come now. You will recognize it. By printing presses, by distributing devotional books widely, spread Krishna consciousness through Sankirtan, not so much through reclusive bhajan. And establish an educational institution. This is what you know, Prabhupada. This is all his ideas. When I'm not present anymore, please take care to serve Sri Mayapur Dham, which is so dear to you. That is my special instruction to you. This letter was written in 1905, if you know. Want to know. So let me summarize this part. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, getting from his father the idea that the mission of Lord Chaitanya has fallen in disrespect, wanted to establish an alternative to materialistic societies, because the Vaishnavas were constantly attacked by smartas, brahmanas, and he said this must preach pure Vaishnava Dharma, and for this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati thought of the head of his societies, sannyasis who were initiated brahmanas with Brahmin string and all. But here was a problem. There were no sannyasis in Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not initiated sannyasis. The Goswami followers were Babajis, not sannyasis. The renunciants had no idea of sannyasis, of what that order meant. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to look for help in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. This will give happiness to our Nishinga Priya's heart. Because the Ramanuja Sampradaya had a history of 800 years, immaculate heißt makellos in Deutsch, renunciants who had the sticks, who had the sannyasi staff. He turned therefore to Ramanuja. And they had remained strong and moral, and so on and so forth. So after his return, he took sannyas. the question had: how do sannyasis dress? What is their dandas? How do they do their worship? All this came from a sister sampradaya. A very respectful sampradaya who made huge temples and monasteries, and were elevating the grihastha communities and so on. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went back. He was very unconventional. He took a picture of his spiritual master, who was deceased by this, verschieden, and he took a staff a la Ramanuja and address a la Ramanuja, and here was a newborn creation, a sannyasi, and he himself then went preaching. He was extremely powerful. He was extremely pure, and for those who are interested, he was in a deeply privately, he was also following the reclusive path of the contemplative traditions and so on. I feel this little historical look, it's from one perspective, the look will help you to understand a little bit the formation of the modern Gaudiya movement and the formation of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, which had the same thing. I very much wanted to speak, wanted to point out that Bhakti Vinod Thakur told his son to develop the holy dharma by making Mayapur. And you might ask, why so much stress? Also, at this moment, Prabhupada wanted to build a huge temple in Mayapur, although it is extremely difficult to build a place, anything there. Why? Because the land is impossible for building. It's sand. It moves because it has been always a place where the Ganga was flowing. This is ein Stromland. But he wanted to. This was so difficult for Harikesh Maharaj, a follower of Prabhupada, who was very instrumental in spreading Krishna consciousness in Europe, to understand why the biggest temple in a damp place which is over flooded with mosquitoes and where it's so difficult to just lie as a foundation, you have to go 80 meters deep and build what is a difficult thing, a U, an umgekehrtes U, so that it somehow grabs in the land and it stays there to hold this huge temple, which Prabhupada wanted really, and it's being built now, and you can give a donation of 108 something, and then you have a square foot built in the temple, and so on. 2016, they want to open the temple. 2016? No. That's today.
22
is now. It was 2016. Yeah. They're really like... Because there is a lot of stress on Mayapur. And you might ask yourself, why? I know some of you are Indian phobics. They like India. Some of you are absolute Indian dislikers because they always get sick and they can't digest the chilies and so on. I'm a fan of the Holy Dharma, and I want to make this clear. It is because in Mayapur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eternally present, and he is the father of this movement. There's a song about Mayapur which you will like. Oh, when will I give up bodily pleasures? It doesn't work so well with the English. When will I give up my bodily pleasures? When will I wander under various trees and vines on the bank of the Ganga? And will I weep there and call out, Haradhe, Ha Krishna. I will offer my obeisances to all the people who live there. I shall beg a drop of mercy from them. I will smear the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas on my body, and I will dress like an avaduta. I shall see no distinction between the residents of Bengal and those of Braja. Of Gouda means this place, this holy place. And I will thus become a true Vrajavasi, an inhabitant of Vrindavan. The transcendental form of the Dham will appear to my vision, and I will become a maidservant of Srimati Radharani. The Holy Dharma, in other words, has extraordinary potency is to deliver a conditioned soul from his unfortunate loss of his spiritual identity and his unfortunate identification with the body and the mind. It has this power. And therefore, the our teachers, coming from our line, wants to bring many people there, and it hopes that by spreading Krishna consciousness from there, with the blessings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the movement will get new strength. So I wanted to, in summary, wanted to describe a little bit this, let me say, Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance in Kali Yuga as a great impetus to spread pure bhakti to one and all. Without, they didn't need to have any sadhana, no philosophy. They just got it in the contact with him. After this, something happened, which is also happened in Christianity. You know? When Jesus was there, it is said that also people who had contact with him, for instance, during the Bergpredigt, have you heard the Sermon from the Mountain? If you want to understand Christianity, read this section of the Bible, and you know what the theological concepts. No? But after such a great founder is moving away, some understanding, some teaching, and some sadhana has to be given. And Lord Chaitanya told already during his time, Rupa Goswami, you please must write Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where you describe what is bhakti and its different rasas, relationships. To Sanatan, he said, write something so that based on the Vedic scriptures, so that our concepts can be lived and practiced. This became Hari Bhakti Vilas. And Lord Chaitanya requested his disciples, mostly after his to initiate people and spread, in this way spread the Chaitanya Bhakti. Something had happened on the way, and our line in which we are thought, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a reform must be done, but the reform must be based on the original teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, when you come now to Vrindavan and see the Bengali influence in Vrindavan, which is, you will see some other informations, and those who are not rooted firmly in the sadhana, they will feel the need that there's something lacking and take new initiations. Even God brothers, one God brother of mine, who is highly accomplished in many ways, has seen a need for this. Now, I personally wanted to therefore do my little research, and I somehow have this great trust in the sadhana of which I do myself, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and from the scriptures of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and understanding from Rupa Goswami what is bhakti and what are the different rasas, and then trying to leave the world of Ahamma Meti in which modern psychology is so much active and so on, and going into it. I want to summarize what is my message to all of you. I want to again read to you the words of Bhakti, of Gokishore Das Babaji. He said, "The Hare Krishna mantra is a Siddha mantra. Within this mantra are the Siddha Rupa," means the spiritual form, "of Sri Krishna, and the Siddha Rupas of all living entities." You know why this is so? Because Krishna and his name is non-different. That's the idea. "If you chant the Maha Mantra purely, the syllables of the mantra will gradually reveal the spiritual form, qualities and pastimes of Sri Krishna. This mantra will also reveal your eternal spiritual form, your own eternal spiritual form, your service, and the 11 particulars of your spiritual identity." Hare Krishna. So I have come to the end of this little presentation. Today, not so much Leela, only a few Leelas. What to do? Yes, there are questions. I can see our Mangala has a question. Then Kanya Bihari and Gaura Nataraj. Yes, Mangala.
It's a question that I've been thinking about for some time now. I'm trying to understand what it means to reach the perfection of constantly chanting. And I know that you sometimes say that, for example, after Kirtan, you know, that one can see that one has made progress if spontaneously the holy name appears in the mind. For example, if one wakes up at night and suddenly one's chanting. And sometimes I feel connected with something like this happens, but sometimes it also feels like it's just the mind. And it's like more like
it's an ovum.
So I was wondering maybe you could explain what's the difference between an earworm and a true revelation or a true being absorbed in 24 hours of chanting.
Yes, okay. I will say just briefly, what is the difference between... Mangala wonders about the perfection of chanting. I have once said that it is when you always chant, but she feels you can always chant something melodiously. I don't know... I was a music lover and I would hear the songs of Led Zeppelin always. It would not leave me because it was really good, especially the guitarist and the singer. They are highly accomplished musicians in my taste. It's not a recommendation to hear CDs by them. So that could also happen with melodious kirtan tunes. What is the perfection of chanting then? Well, I always take this one sentence of Prabhupada as an answer to this. He said, chanting means to associate with Krishna. I think that's the perfection of always chanting, that when you chant, Krishna is there in your heart and he doesn't leave your heart alone. What is difficult for us to understand, Mangala, is at this stage how the holy name is identical with the form, the qualities and the pastimes. But when you understand, you have, or when you realize you have attained perfection. It's a very short answer, I know, but I feel it's really the answer. Yes, Konya Bihari.
You spoke about the line of Koka Guru Goswami and about the Nityananda Ransa, the history My question is, what happens to the line of Rupa Goswami? How this developed?
How this developed?
It's a different.
Yes, we are called the Rupanugas, our line. We are supposed to follow. Well, after what I you can see that in the description of the personalities in our Sampradaya, some of them are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. There is a, and also in one song of Bhakti, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which describes our Sampradaya. Very important teachers were in our Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was seen as a second Rupa Goswami, an incarnation of Rupa Goswami, and so on, as it comes here. These lines were not according to families lines, they were and they were Bhagavat Shiksha, lines of like-minded souls who through whom the stream of Rupa Goswami followed, and so on. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah, and we are supposed to follow this because we follow the teachings.
My question is more, were they the same problems or what?
Oh yeah, there are always problems in human society. You know, the teachers which you find are the perfected souls in our line, but there were also devotees who were struggling and so on. That is normal. That should not also be a criterion of judging, or so on. I hope I once gave a similar presentation, and one devotee who is a wonderful devotee criticized me, and that was correct, the criticism, that I don't want to, it sounds political, I don't want to I want to just describe what is happening as good as I can. Of course, I have the vision of our own line. That is, my information is from my own line. So it is line related what I said. Mm-hmm. But but things are also objective, you know, how Vaishnavism was seen, and you couldn't get the books any longer, and then printing presses had to come, and the whole revival had to happen of Lord Chaitanya. That is something which is historically there. I just thought of Gauranga Taraj.
Okay. Thank you very much, first of all, for this wonderful presentation and the illuminations in it. I really liked it to give such a good overview about the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And as a very curious person, I was wondering, you were speaking about Jnana Chandra and the 11 characteristics which he was mentioning. Would you like to illuminate a little bit more on
the 11
points which he was giving? And also you mentioned the book which he had written, but he didn't mention the name or if it's somehow available. Because
it is available. It's available.
So, very interesting to get.
Gaur Govinda Smaran Padati is his work. It is something. Smaran means how to meditate about Gauranga and Govinda and his Leela. So, Jnanachandra Goswami, yes, lined out very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how you meditatively worship the Guru first. Then the krama is very important, the steps. Then you go to Lord Chaitanya and you worship him
in Navadvip Dham. Oh, you start your meditation early in the morning when the first birds come. Tweet, 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 tweet. And you see the transcendental Navadvip Dham surrounded by Mother Ganga. It looks a little bit like a small little mountain in the Ganga. And then you go and wake your guru, and he wakes the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then the Lord rises from his bed, and then you come and behind your guru with a cup so that the Lord can brush his mouth, and it's a beautiful thing. And then you go from there into the Radha and Krishna Leela. Oh, how in the morning the manjaris who are before the kunch start to stir. They are really worried. Hopefully Radha and Krishna are not yet awake. We have slept so long. And then they look through the kunch, and they see the bodies of the divine couple, and they faint, and they, did you see? Radhe is like a stationary lightning in the blue cloud of Syam Sunda, and stationary, it's hengta, it bewegt sich nicht, it means the divine couple is embracing. And then the parrots are described, how they must wake up. So Vrinda Devi says to Daksha and Vishakshana, you must now make your sound so that they wake up. After all, it's the Paratiya Bhava, and if they stay together and they are not found in their beds in Vashana and Nandagram, it is a problem. And then it's beautiful descriptions and meditations. Dhyan Shanta just gives seeds.
Yeah.
But our tradition, it's rich in contemplation. And so on. Yeah, it's such a Smaran tradition. It is also in our tradition. Govinda Lilas, Govinda Lilamrita, Krishna Bhavanamrita, everything is described there, and so on. With the difference of not ascribing this, it's just you meditate and the holy name reveals your identity, and then you pass into this reality. That's a big tradition, the difference. The Siddha Pranalis have something else. That was, so to say, their theology, which they taught to their disciples and attracted disciples with that spiritual offer, so to say. You are this, we will tell you already now. Of course, to many, it's still a little attractive. It is attractive.
But it must be deeply rooted, if otherwise it's worth nothing, isn't it?
Well, what Mangala said, there is a difference between mental conceptions, which you can, and spiritual realization. That's also important for those who study psychology. There's a difference between all kinds of helps and so on and so forth, and deep realization changes which come from the soul, really. And there's a difference. Therefore, our Sampradaya would often say, well, you have to do the work of purifying your heart, otherwise you are just imagining everything. And of course, there are many examples. You are like a woman who has not received the seed of her husband, but who goes in her labor room and thinking she will give birth, but there is nothing inside. Or they would say, you are like someone who wants to shake a tree for the unripe mangoes, but let them ripen, and then you can enjoy it. Yeah. And these are Gokashodas Babaji's examples and so on. Yeah. It's a difference. And we have taken a different stand. But it is, I think what we should not do is an either or.
It is a fact that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this contemplative practice to Gopal Guru, who then gave it to Dhyan Chandra Goswami. It's a fact. It is there in our line, but different than the modern Siddha Pranali thing. But it is there. It is there. And it is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at the end of his life said, that's our real treasure, our real value, Radha and Krishna, our spiritual identity. We should not do out of to distinguish ourselves from what we think is not mature. We should not throw our value out of the basket. Therefore, Bhujan Prabhu and myself, I should maybe not say that the internet is everything in the internet, but no, we want to give a Govardhan retreat center. We started to build on Nityananda's appearance day, and we want to nourish the devotee community with first class Krishna Katha based on Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. And we feel that it's necessary that we talk about Krishna's pastimes and so on. And devotees respond very favorably, and often at the time of their departure listen to such lectures because they feel we must think of Krishna also. It's very important. Ja, gut, then I would have another pastime, but that's too long. I want to thank everyone very much for their kind participation. I brought some prasadam. Soon Ananda Vardhan will know the technique how you can put a prasadam in the camera. He's working on it.
I can try.
It falls out of the computer. No, we will. This Ananda Vardhan and Gadadhar will certainly find the technology with time paper how to mystically transform and then unmanifest and manifest. It's just now coming. So this is. Yeah. So I will end here. Once again, I want to say to those who have watched the internet, I can imagine today it's not so many because you heard only this morning that it will be in English. But our hope is to give the following Gaurakathas more in a way like training devotees in our rich heritage and so on. And you can watch, I think Kalakanta will publish, or Kalakanta is organizing this as much as I know. And then there will be titles for each lecture, and you can, or even if you don't come, there's Konya Bihari with this machine, and it will be available on the Sharanagati library, tape library. Also, I want to greet very much devotees who are not so often here. Our Vinay has come with Shapna and the children, and also Nishinga Priya has given the pleasure of her association to all of us today. So we are grateful. Hare Krishna. Good. So Hare Krishna. Oh, should we end? Let us end with singing. This, otherwise, everything is dry. Disharmonium to gada.
Das Kissen
ist. Ich habe mich hier hingesetzt, wo es nicht hingekommen ist. Danke. Und das ist nur bei Fekante. Also es macht
ja.
Oh ja, oh ja.
Du bist so weltbekannt. Danke, danke. Mir tut mir leid.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare
Hare Hare Hare Hare. I'm
Everybody, please.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna.
Prema Nandi, Adi, Adi,
Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi, Adi,